I was thinking that some may take this negative, but I was thinking it's Mother's Day, and some are loyal to that day, and so they're not here. But it's also the Lord's Day. I wish the loyalty was extended to Him as it was to Mother. Amen. Now you take that how you want, but I had to say it. I come across this here, and it says, as you might know, the head of a major company survived the tragedy of 9/11 in New York because his son started kindergarten. Another fellow was alive because it was his turn to bring donuts. One woman was late because her alarm clock didn't go off in time. One was late because of being stuck in the New Jersey Turnpike because an automobile accident. One of them missed his bus. One spilled food on her clothes and had to take time to change. One's car couldn't start. One went back to answer the telephone. One had a child that was not getting ready quick enough. One couldn't get a taxi. The one that struck me was the man who put on a new pair of shoes that morning, took the various means to get to work, but before he got there, he developed a blister on his foot. He stopped at a drugstore to buy a Band-Aid, and that's why he is alive today. Now, when I am stuck in traffic, miss an elevator, turn back to answer a ringing telephone, all the little things that annoy me, I think to myself, that is exactly where God wants me to be at this very moment. The next time the morning seems to be going wrong, the children get slow in getting dressed, you can't seem to find the car keys, you hit every traffic light. Don't get mad or frustrated. God is at work watching over you. Amen? I thought that was amazing. And I guess that's true, or true stories about people who, if they would have been at work at time whenever that took place, they would have died. But I'm sure out of all those people who died that there was many who wasn't able to make it to work or didn't go to work for different reasons in there. And so maybe that's true. I don't know. But the thought is good. Is that whenever you feel like things just are not going the way they should go, just rejoice that He's in charge. Maybe that's the way it ought to go. Amen? And so we thank the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 1. We have been preaching a series with the help of the Lord, Walk as He Walked. And we started there, and as we do the series, we're going through the Mark, St. Mark, the book of Mark, doing that to find out if we're supposed to walk and commanded to walk and obligated to walk as Christ walked, as it says there in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Then He tells us also in 1 John 2, 6, He saith, He abideth in Him, ought also, Him also so to walk even as He walked. So we as Christians are going to walk as Christ walked. In order to do that, we're going to have to know how He walked. So we're going to take the book of Mark, and we're going to go through the book of Mark, and we start in chapter 1, and we're going to take the highlights, and we're going to look at Jesus and how He walked, and we're going to imitate that. We're going to follow, the Bible tells us in Peter, to follow His steps. And we want to do that. We want to know how He walked. And we found out that in chapter 1 of Mark, in verse 1, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we're going to start in the beginning. This is the beginning He was talking about. I like the way Mark has put things. He sort of just puts them a little bit at a time. He doesn't give us all detail. He doesn't go into depth. He just hits the highlights and He moves on. And we're going to do the same thing with the life of Jesus, and so that we as Christians today can know what Jesus did, so what Jesus said, how Jesus felt by the way of His actions or responses, and to find out that's how we are to live, just like He lived. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the wilderness tonight, and so let's stand to our feet, and we'll read there in verse 12 and verse 13, and we'll go to Matthew chapter 4 in just a moment to get more detail of it, but we're going to hit that here tonight as we are just continuing through. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 12, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus here tonight. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, that if we're going to be one who has received Christ, then we're to walk as Christ walked tonight. And Lord, we thank you for that direction. We thank you for that desire. We know the walk, dear God, that you require of us is the walk that's Christ. And once we receive Christ, then we can receive the walk. Father, give us knowledge on how to walk. And Father, help us to be able to have the ability, strength, and courage, and wisdom to walk as Christ walked in these days. Father, we need help tonight. God, we got much in the way of temptations, Lord, in the way of obstructions in life, dear God, burdens and troubles and trials and things, dear God, that seem to get us off track. And Father, we pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight to get on track and get our minds together. And Father, we'd be able to know exactly what to do in every situation and every circumstance. Thank you for God's Word tonight. Thank you for the Holy Ghost of God, for the dear Son of God tonight, Lord, that we can trust in and believe upon. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We found the first thing that Jesus did was got baptized. We've seen that. We preached on that already. And so that's the first thing we're going to do after we get saved. After you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, Jesus was baptized, and we went into all that. When Jesus was baptized, he identified himself with us. Then when you get baptized, you're going to identify yourself with him. That's how that works. And we found out last time I preached through this, and this is really a continuation of another message. We found out that God has given us a testimony, and once you get saved and once you get born again, and the baptism is the first step of obedience, it's the beginning of your life. Walk with God is the beginning and start of a ministry that God's going to give to you. You're going to have a testimony. There was three that we noticed. We preached on already in verse 10. There was the testimony of the Spirit of God. The Bible says that the Spirit of God, like a dove, descended upon him. And that was a testimony of God's Spirit that this is the Son of God, that this is the man of God, this is the Lamb of God. And then when you get saved, there's going to be a dwelling of the Spirit of God in you, and it's going to identify you. It's going to set you apart. It's going to make you different than you were. It's going to put you in a separate place than ever before, because that Spirit's testimony upon you and in you will tell others that you are now a child of God. The Bible says that His Spirit bears witness to my spirit that I'm a child of God. And so we find that testimony of the Spirit of God, you're mine and I'm yours. We also found in the way of preaching last time, there was the Word of God declaring Him. We found in verse 11, the Bible says, "And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so now we find the Word of God testifying, declaring that this is my beloved Son. Well, also the Word of God declares to us as well. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be what? Called the sons of God." And how do we know that we're called the sons of God? The Word of God tells us that. And so now we find a declaration that we are the sons of God. We are the children of God. How do we know that? The Word of God's testimony tells us that. So we have the Spirit of God that dwells with us, the testimony of Him, the Word of God and testimony of Him, and then the heart of God in verse 11. He tells us there, he says, "In whom I am well pleased." We find that that's the testimony of God who's delighting in His Son, delighting in Jesus, and God also delights in us. Jesus tells us in John 16, 27, he said, "For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I am come from God." God the Father does love you, and he is pleased with you when you receive his Son, dear the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Psalms 149, 4, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." And so God does have pleasure with his children. God does have pleasure and delight in his own tonight. As he did with Jesus, he does with us. Amen. And so we've seen a testimony in Mark chapter 1 in verses 9 through 11. But then we talked about the testing. there in verse 12, it says, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. We find that the Spirit of God has now pushed and has now driven the Lord Jesus into the wilderness. We find a testing taking place from Jesus' form of victory. If you remember, he came from victory, a baptism, the Spirit of God descending upon him, the Father saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased, and now we find him into war. And we talked about our testimony will be the same, that after we have a testimony that's built, then we're going to have a testing. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tested. We're going to have that blessing, and then we're going to have that battle. We're going to have that joy of our salvation, then we're going to have that fight. Amen? It's the same thing here. Jesus went from baptism all the way to the wilderness, and we find the testing. Will he stand? Will he stay? Will he sustain? We find in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, we've already preached on those about the trial of your faith, the testing of your faith, talking about how the Lord will put you through the fire and how you'll find yourself as a Christian going through testings. And Jesus went through the testing. You'll go through the testing. Amen. It's not a bad thing. It's not what the devil is doing. The Bible says that the Spirit driveth him. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says the Holy Ghost of God led him. This is not the devil is not doing this. The Holy Ghost of God is leading this. Amen. And so we find it's God's plan. It's God's purpose. It's God's proving. God will prove you. God will prove us. Adam fell. Israel failed. Noah failed. Abraham failed. Moses failed. David failed. Well, you fail. Jesus didn't fail. And so we find tonight, after we get saved and born again, and we find the first step of our walk with God will be baptism, just like Jesus. And then after our baptism, we find a testimony is now founded. And in that testimony, we're going to find the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the heart of God will testify of us. And then we're going to find a testing in our lives. And then we come to the temptation. The temptation here, and that's what I want to preach on tonight. And there were in the wilderness 40 days tempted of Satan. Now I want you to notice the first thing concerning this temptation is that the Spirit of God continuously was with Jesus. Now turn to Matthew chapter 4. And in verse 4 we find an in-depth thought here. And we'll just stay right here tonight and move forward in what God would have for us. But we find in verse chapter 4 and verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We find that with that thought tonight, the Spirit of God never left Jesus. He led Jesus there. He guided Jesus there. He brought Jesus there. He took up Jesus there. And he was in control there. And we go back to Job and we think about Job and how the devil, Satan, came to Job or came to God and said, how about Job? He said, well, go ahead. And all of a sudden, then devil came back and said, you know, you got a hedge about him. He said, all right, go back. But you can't take his soul. You can't take his life. And so we find Job. But the whole time that temptation was taking place, that whole time that the devil was having conversation and all that he was doing amongst Job, God was in control. God never left Job. God never left Jesus. And God would never leave you. Amen. Even though you're in the temptation, even though you went through the test and you passed the test, now you're in temptation, God's not going to tempt you. You're not going to tempt God. The temptation's completely of the devil. But Jesus Christ, the Lord, is with you always, even until the end of the world. The Holy Ghost of God that led you there, the Holy Ghost of God that guided you there, will be the same Holy Ghost of God that will be with you there. Amen? And he's the one who's keeping score. He's the one who's the referee. He's the one who's putting the stop and saying no and yes and all these things unto this devil. And so you can rest assured the Spirit of God was continuously with Jesus. Can I say secondly, the enemy of God was constantly at him. Now as we look at the scripture here tonight, we're kind of wondering, or maybe you might be wondering, what in the world was all this about? What was the purpose of Satan coming to Jesus in the wilderness? Satan knew that Jesus is the Son of God. I mean, we know that through the Scripture, even in the testimony of the demons. If the demons knew about Jesus, well, then surely the devil would know about Jesus, or Satan would know about Jesus. So it wasn't about that. But even though in the Scripture here, as you might look in verse 3, he says, if thou be the Son of God. He knew he was the Son of God, but he said, if thou be the Son of God. So it had to be more than what Satan knew. The motivation behind this, I believe, and is he wanted to cause Jesus to sin. That is what temptation is all about for you and me. Is he wants you to sin. He wants to cause you to sin. He wants to pressure you to sin. You're saved now. You're in the kingdom of God. You come out of darkness into light. You are now under the realm and the reign of the Lord Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's lost complete control of you. He has nothing at all to do that can make you do anything, but he sure can tempt you, amen? And one thing he can tempt you to do is not tempt you to lose your salvation or tempt you to lose your relationship with God, but to tempt you to sin. There's a greater offense to God tonight is sin. Whether you want to say it's big or little, it's sin. Now notice three areas tonight in which this Satan was tempting Jesus, and he'll tempt you the same way. I notice that he tempted him in a physical way. In verses 1 and 2 and 3, let's read verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Physically, was he speaking and looking to Jesus? To sin. To sin. Because Jesus said in verse 4, he said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus knew that. And Jesus was well aware of that, and Jesus even believed that. But here Satan comes to him, and in a physical sense, he wants to tempt him that he could turn those stones into bread. Now, did Jesus have power to turn the stones into bread? Absolutely. He could do that in just a minute. He could just look at the stone and the stone would become bread. He wouldn't even have to say anything. He wouldn't even have, all he could do is think it into existence. He's God, amen? But we find physically, we find that the devil tonight will attack us at our weakest point. At our weakest point is where the devil will come about within you. If you notice, the Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then all of a sudden, after 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungered. The devil didn't show up on the first day of the wilderness walk. He showed up after the 40th day of the wilderness walk. And when the Bible says, afterward, Jesus was hungered. And he shows up and said to him, hey, I got an idea. I got a way that you ought to go. Listen, friend, you don't have to wait on nobody to feed you. You don't have to wait on anybody to bring you anything to eat. Let's just do this. If you're the Son of God, won't you just do what you can do? Turn that stone into bread. Amen. And he's taking Jesus in a way of a temptation to take that stone, turn into bread, when Jesus is at his weakest. He'll do you the same too. Now, I preached on this already, so we're going to move quickly on this first point. Now, he attacks at the weakest point, but he addresses the strongest desire. All of us tonight have desires within our lives. To have a desire tonight, we find that it does not become a sin, according to James, according to 1 John there, James, talking about there's lust, and then there's sin, and then there's death. We find tonight that you might have a desire about something. You might have something in your heart that you long for, but if it's not what God wants, it's not what God's will is, it's not what God would have you to do, it's not necessarily something wrong or something bad, it's just God says no or God says don't. Friend, you have the desire of doing that, the devil will come, and at your strongest desire, that's where he'll attack you and address it. Weakest point, strongest desire, we find he aligns with the easiest way. The easiest way. You got in your life tonight physically, he will present to you He'll present to you, this is an easier way for you to live. This is an easier way for you to take your life. You're doing it real easy. You're doing it hard now. You're doing it hard. You're living hard. This Christian life is hard. There's an easier way now. You don't have to do it this hard. You ain't got to do it this way. I got an easier way. So he'll hit your highest or lowest point. He'll hit your highest or strongest desire. He'll tell you about the easiest way. He adds with the smallest thought. See, this is the devil's thought. This is the deals that the devil suggests. This is what the devil's choice is. God is the provider of the bread. We're not going to live by bread alone, the Bible says. So that means if you don't have no bread, that don't mean you're going to starve, amen? God will provide. Trust in God. Trust in Him to bring the bread. Hey, when it's time for you to eat, God will bring it to you. Hey, God will say, okay, it's been 40 nights and 40 days. I got bread headed your way. I can get a raven to do it. I can get somebody else to do it. I can have bread just come up. But hey, listen, whenever you get into dealings with the devil and you're dealing with the devil in the temptation of life tonight, and when he suggests something to you, when he makes a say, he says something to you, I got a thought here. Let's do it this other way. Let's do it this way. Without trusting in God, without relying upon God, without waiting on God, without taking God's word in consideration, it's going to be a bad deal. So the devil was tempting Jesus, and he thought he had a good thought. Let's just turn them stones into bread. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Don't think tonight you're not going to walk out of here and you're not getting attacked at your weakest point. You're not going to be addressed with your strongest desire. You won't be aligned with your easiest way, and you won't be added with the smallest thought that the devil can make a suggestion to you. And if you take up on his suggestion, you're doing what the devil would do. Amen. I know tonight is tough. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But a temptation, stay strong. All he wants you to do is sin. All he wants you to do is sin tonight. Can I say, secondly, this is where we ended. We ended in that verse. But secondly, he attacked Jesus in a spiritual way. Chapter 4. Of Matthew verse 5 and 6, he said, then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He didn't exactly say it right, but we got the gist of what he's saying. And spiritually, what he's saying is, listen, I want you to do something. Now, we're talking about the temptation of the devil. We're talking about having conversation with the devil. We're talking about having some sort of a fellowship with the devil. He's speaking to you and you're speaking to him, amen? And so he's attempting you, and you're sitting there, you're there, wherever you're at. And now he's going to hit you with a physical temptation, but then he comes in a spiritual direction. This is what he wants Jesus to do, and here's what you want you to do, is he's encouraging Jesus to test God. He says, why don't you just test God? Why don't you just come off of that temple, come off of that pinnacle of the temple? He said, and you know what? There's angels down there going to catch you. I encourage you to test God. Just test them, see if God is see who He is. That's the devil tonight. Get trying to encourage you, trying to get you to a place where you're going to test God, where I'm just going to put God online, I'm going to put God at this place. And God, if you're God, well, let me see you're going to do this and do that. And God, if you say that you are what you are, if the Bible says the Bible is what it is, well, then we're going to see what really works. Amen. We're going to test God. And that's the way the devil works tonight, testing God. That's what he wanted Jesus to do. Of course, Jesus didn't do that. But spiritually speaking tonight, he was encouraging Jesus to test God. Number two, he was setting up Jesus to tempt God. He's a good setter-upper. Boy, tonight he was trying to set him up to tempt God. He'll set you up tonight. You better be careful. He pushes tonight you to demand God. And that's what he was saying to Jesus. He said, go ahead and just come off of that pinnacle. He said, "And if you are the Son of God, cast thyself down now." He said, "Come off that pinnacle of that temple and come on down." He said, "When you come down there, you're going to test God. You're going to tempt God. Oh, but what you're really going to do is you're going to demand God. Because if you're the Son of God, I promise you, God is not going to let you just die down at the bottom of the pinnacle." So really, he's telling Jesus, let's demand God that whenever you jump off of here, cast yourself off of here, that there's someone down there or some angel down here is going to catch you, so we're going to demand God to catch you. And the devil works that in our lives. All of a sudden in our lives, we're starting to demand God. We're starting telling God what to do. We're starting to tell God what to expect to do. "Hey, God, you say you're God. Well, you need to do this. You need to do that. Hey, God, when are you going to do that? How are you going to do that?" He pushes Jesus to do that. He sets up Jesus. He encourages Jesus. But then he drives Jesus to prove God. Boy, he's pushing hard. He's pushing. He's using the terminology, "If thou be the Son of God." And then he throws in some scripture here, "For it is written." I mean, he's saying the right words. He's using the right scripture. He didn't quote it right, but he used it anyway. And so, man, I'm telling you tonight, you can get real tempted when the devil comes to you. He mentions the name of Jesus to you, and then he throws a scripture at you for you to get sin. Huh? I'm telling you. That's what he did to Jesus tonight, spiritually speaking. He wants to see you sin in a spiritual sin. Physically sin. That's all he wants. If the devil tonight can see us sin, if he can get us to the place where we live in sin and we sin one time, he's happy. I mean, even though he may not be involved in the sin in which you've committed, he's still happy. Because his whole purpose and his whole drive and his whole reason tonight as the God of this world tonight is not to befriend us. He's not helping us win people to Christ. He's not out there telling people to come to our church and to support our church and to get part of missions. He's not at all on our side tonight. And those who are on our side want us to live right, live holy, live godly. Well, how about the ones on the other side? Well, they want us to live unholy, ungodly. Amen? So we find a great opposition in this. So we see that this devil here is a... The enemy of God is constantly at him. He hasn't let up yet. We find, thirdly, that he attacks him in the way of mentally. In chapter 4, verses 8, verse 9, it says again, "The devil taketh him up unto the exceeding high mountain and showeth him all of the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Mentally, psychologically. I mean, really? I mean, the devil has some nerve to come to the Son of God, the Creator of the world, the one who's already in the authority. I mean, the one who's already who created the mountains, built the mountains. He's all of authority. He's in the authority. He is the one tonight who's the glory of all things that have ever been created and made. And you have one that's been created coming to the one who created him and said, "Listen, if you will fall down and worship me, I will give you all of that." How dare you, devil? Mentally, psychologically. We find he offers a path of power to Jesus. Now, Jesus, in order to gain or to get, to have all power and have all authority, to defeat the last enemy, which is death, Jesus had to go the way of the cross. Satan may have knew that. Maybe he didn't know that. But what he's offering to Jesus is, listen, you're going to go to the way of the cross. And when you get to the way of the cross, you're going to be without sin. And you're going to die for sin, become sin, and then you're going to be buried, and you're going to rise on the third day, overcoming sin, death, and hell. And then you're going to sit on the right hand of the Father, and all authority and all power is going to be granted to you, and you're going to be above and beyond all that is all told and all said. He said, but I got a better little path for you. If you just bow down and worship me right now, you don't have to go to the cross. I give it to you now, since I am the God of this world. Mentally, psychologically, the devil will say, you don't have to go all the way with God. Just skip over all that. There's a lot of pain involved. There's a lot of suffering involved. There's a lot of time involved. There's a lot of discipline involved. There's a lot of things that you're going to have to go through in your Christian walk in order to become just like Jesus. If you just fall down and worship me, I'll make you like Jesus now. I'm telling you, the battle's really real. So he gives them, he says, offers a path of power. He also gives them a road of success. He said, more, I'm going to give you the kingdom of the world. I'm going to give you all the glory of them. I mean, there's not going to be anything that I have that you're not going to have. You can have it all if you just fall down and worship me. The road to success. He provides a journey of wealth. He said, the devil's saying to Jesus, I got a better way. I got a newer way. I got an easier way. Give up a little bit. Give up a little bit, Jesus, and you'll get it all. And that's what the devil wants out of us tonight. Give up a little bit. Don't be so convicted. Don't stay so straight. Don't live such a life where you can't have fun. I mean, listen, you got to do a little bit. You got to have a little bit of sin in your life. You got to have a little bit of the world in you. You got to have a little bit of what's going on in everybody else's life. You can't be so straightforward and straight jacket. I mean, you're living a miserable life. You know how many people tells me all the time that I'm living a boring life? I wish they lived in my footsteps. I wish they'd just follow me. They'd fall out. There's nothing boring about me. They say, well, you're living a life where you have no fun. Man, I'm having a time of my life. Y'all get told the same thing? I don't understand it all, how people can know how I'm so unhappy, and yet I'm really happy. And how I don't ever do anything, and yet I do anything I want to do. And they say, well, you don't have nothing. And I'm thinking, I got all of heaven and everything else too tonight. I always think of it like this. I got all this in heaven too. It's just not fair. Yet tonight the devil wants to say to you, as he said to Jesus, give up just a little bit and I'll give it all to you. The devil's saying that to you tonight, mentally. Just give up a little bit, okay? Give in just a tad. Don't stay so straight. Bend a little bit. Take your hand off the plow just for 10 minutes. It's okay. Turn to the left. Turn to the right. It's going to be okay. You won't die. The world won't come to an end. You'll still go to heaven. Huh? Yeah. Just sin a little bit. What he's saying to Jesus, the devil is let go some to get a lot. He says, leave a little to get more. Tonight, I cannot say to you that Jesus came under this temptation. It was a physical temptation. It was a mental temptation or psychological temptation. It was a spiritual temptation. All three of them were different, but all three were powerful. Can I say number three? The Word of God clearly protected him. Not only did the enemy constantly was at him, and the Spirit of God was continuously with him, but the Word of God was clearly protecting him. All Jesus had was the Word of God. Now you say, well, he was God. Yeah, but he didn't demonstrate his deity right here. His deity wasn't in play. His humanity was in play. He could have done his deity. He could have killed the devil right there. As soon as the devil came up, after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, as soon as the devil walked up, he said, you're dead, devil, and the devil would have died. Didn't happen that way. He could have turned the bread into stones into bread. He could have jumped off the pinnacle. He could have even fell down and worshiped Satan tonight and still be God. He's God. I don't care what he would have done. You can't change God. You're not going to convert God. You're not going to make God be less than God. And so tonight, will we notice that nothing took place because he had the Word of God. And it was the Word of God that led Jesus through because he submitted himself and yielded himself unto God's Word tonight. The Word he breathed. The Word that he began is the Word in which he believed tonight. Whenever Jesus quotes the Scripture, he's quoting the Scripture that he breathed into existence according to 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. As he breathed into those holy men, as they wrote, as the Holy Ghost God gave unto them. Friend, it's the same Word that Jesus believed in. And while he believed in the Word, it was the same Word tonight that protected him. And that's the only protection you and I have tonight. It's the Word of God. The Word of God. I want you to notice the first thing about the Word of God, it was inspired. I want you to notice the second thing about the Word of God. Now, was it inspired that he breathed it into existence? But Jesus believed it for his existence. Not only did he breathe it into existence, but he believed it for existence. Would it be to God tonight that we walk as Christ walked? And that is to believe the Word of God for our existence. Rather than the Word of God for our assistance. It's not assisting us along the way. It's for our existence. Without it, every one of us tonight would be duped and done. Oh, but the Word of God, Jesus believed it. Well, in chapter 4, and there in verse 4, he quotes, he says, it is written. And if Jesus didn't believe it, he wouldn't have wrote it. If he did write it, and then he wouldn't have quoted it. Here he quotes it. It's telling us that the Old Testament is legitimate. It's telling us tonight that Jesus believed in the Old Testament. It's telling us tonight that Jesus is the New Testament. It's telling us tonight that the Word of God has power tonight, that it's inspired of the Word of God for him to quote Deuteronomy chapter 8 in verse 3. He quoted the Scripture because he believed the Scripture. Verse 7, we find that Jesus quoted Psalms 91 verses 11 and 12. We notice that in chapter 10, verse 10 of chapter 4, he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 13. Why in the world is Jesus quoting the Old Testament? Because he believes it. And tonight, in order for you and I to walk as Christ walked, we're going to have to believe the Scripture for our existence. Friend, that's the only way you and I are going to be able to live in a way of a temptation with the devil. The devil is not going to give up. He's not going to give in. He's not going to quit. He's not going to sleep. He's not going on vacation. He's not going somewhere else. Listen, friend, he is on your trail. He is about you tonight to cause you to sin. And if he can get you to sin, then he's been victorious in our lives. And the only way you and I can have battle with him is through the Word of God that Jesus breathed into existence and that you and I believe we can have existence through. I believe many people tonight think the Word of God is just some written word that they can pick up whenever they need some kind of shot in the arm. Or the Word of God is something that's been old and archaic and it's been written a long time ago and it doesn't apply. But Jesus didn't believe that. Jesus believed it. In such a time, whenever the devil came, the devil himself came to him in the wilderness at his weakest point. And Jesus was speaking to him, and as he said, turn those stones into bread, Jesus said, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now what in the world do you think the devil done at that point? He didn't know Jesus was going to quote him the Scripture. He knows a lot. He didn't know that. And I could just imagine, whoa, well, what? I mean, I just knew for sure that he was going to turn. But what a great idea I had, I bet Satan said. Nobody in all the world would have known that I had this idea. I mean, listen, Jesus, nobody cares whether you turn the stones into bread. And nobody even worried about that. Nobody's looking at you. Nobody's out here in the wilderness behind a tree watching you to see what you're going to do, what you're not going to do. Nobody's watching. Nobody cares. Turn the stones into bread. Nobody cares. You listen to me, Jesus. And Jesus said, it is written. I breathed it and I believe it. And this is what I will behave from. This is the way I will live. This is the way I will follow. This is the way I will go. This is the way that it is going to be. This is it, Satan. It's inspired Word of God. I tell you a second thing about this Word that is protecting Jesus. It is an indispensable Word. In other words, it's essential. It's necessary. It's all important. He could turn the stones into bread. He could cast down. He could bow down. He didn't have to be tempted. He could have removed the devil. But he used the inspired, indispensable Word of God to stop the devil. Showing you and I that the Word of God is necessary in our lives. The Word of God tonight is all of importance. We know tonight the Bible's coming under attack. We know that even in California, that they're going to probably try to outlaw the Bible. Y'all seen that, right? In Canada, it's already outlawed. We find that the Word of God is so offensive to others who don't believe in it and don't want it. Wonder why it's such a big deal to all those who don't believe there's even a God. Why is the Word of God in such an offense to people who say it's written by man and it has no power, has no authority? It's just another book. It's just a book that people believe in that are dumb or ignorant, or it's really just made for people who had no sense to believe in. They run around with a gun in one hand and a Bible in another hand. The people there are archaic. They are anemic. They are people who know nothing. They're uneducated. They're unlearned. We heard those before. And yet they're worried about the Bible. And you and I tonight as Christians ought to know that Bible's indispensable. It's all important. It's essential. You better get it. You better memorize it. You better know it. You better read it. You better take it with you. You better, when you leave out of here tonight, you take God's Word with you. You better have it alone. Beside you. You better read it. You better take it. You better get familiar with it. Because I'm going to tell you tonight, it's all important. It's necessary. The devil tonight will come and tempt you. The devil, it's not if he is, it's when he is. And the devil's working over and over time. The devil works at night and the morning. The devil works when you're in good mood, when you're in the bad mood. The devil don't care about you nor your family tonight. He's about getting you to sin. And friend, how are we going to affect? How are we going to take care of? How are we going to fight? How are we going to take care of when the devil comes to us? We're going to do just as Jesus did, walk as Christ walked, and we're going to tell him the Scripture that's inspired and indispensable. We find tonight it's impenetrable. The Word of God cannot be penetrated, pierced, or entered into. Jesus tells them in verse 4, we quoted it. He tells them there in verse 7, he says, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He tells them again there in verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Listen, there's no answer. Move on. There's no response. Do you hear? After verse 10, after three verses that Jesus has laid down, the inspired Word of God, the indispensable Word of God, the impenetrable Word of God. The Satan, what did he do? I don't see him say one more word after that. Do you in verse 10? No answer. Jesus shut them up. No answer. Guess what you ought to do there, Satan? Move on. There was no response. Three times, Jesus quoted the Scripture. Three times, the devil moved on. Did you notice that? If you go to chapter 4 and you go to verse 3 and 4, and when Jesus quoted the Scripture in verse 4 about the bread, and then in verse 5, he moves up to the temple. He goes to the pinnacle. You see that? He stopped talking about them stones. Subject was done. There's no more discussion. The Scripture's been said. It's already been laid out. The law's been laid down. What is there else to talk about? This is what God said. So when he gets up to the pinnacle, he said, okay, I got a new subject. He said, jump off the pinnacle. Cast off the pinnacle. He said, there, them angels down there catch you. Well, Jesus gave him another Scripture. Guess what he did? He went to another subject. He said, oh, okay, well, we're going to move on from there. Let's go on down over here. He said, all those kingdoms and all the glory, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all that. And again, the Scripture was given. And so now we find that the devil has no answer. He has no more response. He has no time. You know why? Because you cannot penetrate the Word of God. And when it's laid down, it's laid down. I believe that tonight. Walk as he walked. Fourthly tonight, we'll close with this thought that the Son of God constantly wins. Jesus wins. And if you want to walk a winning life, you walk as Christ walked. If you want to win in test, walk like Christ. If you want to win in temptation, walk like Christ. If you tonight want to walk tonight and you want to walk victoriously, walk as Christ walked. Tonight, if you want to walk and you want to walk with joy and with peace and you want to walk with victory and you want to walk with contentment and you want to walk with satisfaction tonight, walk as Christ walked. It's no fun tonight to have a test and not pass it. It's not fun tonight to come under temptation and fail. It's not fun tonight to have a testimony and it be ruined. These are not fun things. But if you walk like Christ walked, you'll find you'll have a testimony. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the heart of God, you'll find you'll have a test and you'll pass, you'll find temptation, and you'll come through. And the Word of God that is inspired and indispensable and impenetrable, you'll find the Son of God will constantly win. All others have lost. Tonight, if you want to try to do any other way, tonight, if you want to try to walk any other kind of way, tonight, you want to try to have a path of your own path, you want to live according to half the Bible, half yourself, or half this, or half that tonight, then you're going to win half the time. As long as you're walking as Christ walked, you're going to find victory and win. Win. I like to win. Amen? Losing is not my desire of way of life. Tonight, all others have lost, but Jesus Christ has won. He won the victory in the wilderness. He won the victory in the test. Three things tonight I want to talk about, and we'll close. He would have failed tonight not waiting on God to feed him. If Jesus did not wait on God to feed him, he would have failed. If he would have done what the Satan said him to do, or devil told him to do, and that is to turn those stones into bread, and he would eat, he would have got full. But then, he'd have been wrong. And I believe that many times in our lives tonight, it takes hard work to win. And I can only think of this in a couple of arenas I've been part of my entire life. Is the first arena is in sports. If you're going to win, you got to practice. And you got to lift weights, and you got to run, and you got to get endurance, and you got to get stamina. You got to study the film. You got to watch other people who are in as a high schooler, to watch somebody who's in college, watch somebody in pro at your same position. and you got to watch them do the plays that you are called to do so you can see how they do it. And then you got to watch film of the enemy so that they are the competition, so you know how they run their defense, how they pinch their ends, and how the safeties and all these things are going on, all these moving parts. In order for you to win, you can't just be lazy all week and go out and play the game on Friday Night Lights and win. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some work to win. And the sales, and for what I'm part of, it's going to take some time to win in sales. You got to study your product. You got to study on how to get somebody to look at your product, how to overcome the little lady at the desk. You know, you got the big boss up there on the third story. You got a little lady on the front desk, and she's called a clerk or whatever they call her. And you say, hey, my name is Larry with Beasley Tire. I need to talk to Mr. So-and-so up there. She says, oh, you can't talk to him right now. Who are you? I mean, he's the president, the owner of the business. I want to talk to him. And this little old girl here is probably making, you know, $10, $11, $12 an hour, doing a great job, and I'm not against that. You know, we need people like that. But right now, she's in my way. How do I get around her? How do I get it through her? How am I going to set her to the side so I can see the boss? If I make her mad, I never get to the boss. If I offend her, she tells him, and he calls me and says, I don't want to ever talk to you. You offended my little lady down here. So, man, you're in a bad place, so you got to work to get to the right person in order to get the right sale so you can get make living for your family. It's all works, and even when in our Christian life tonight. Jesus could have went the easy way and took the stones and turned them to bread. But if he did that, he would have failed. And it was about not sinning. And when you fail, you sin. And tonight, I'm going to just say to you, as we are in life, when we take what's easy, or we take what we think is the what we need to do, and without God's Word giving us approval of doing it, we're going to fail. Every time and any time that you go against God's Word, you fail. Jesus would have failed. The second thing I noticed, he would have failed if he was not trusting in God. In other words, for him to jump off of the pinnacle, to jump off of that part of the temple there, would have shown forth that he has no trust in God. Because the Word of God said different. Don't tempt God. Even though he could, he would have failed. Because it went against Scripture. It went against trusting God. He found that he would have failed by not worshiping God only. If he would have bowed down and he would have worshipped Satan, he would have came against the Scripture. The Scripture says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. That's how he would have failed. It all goes back to where and how are we going to fail. It's what the Scripture says and what we do according to the Scripture. That's where we fail. That's where we sin. Now, let me ask you something. Tonight, would it have been sin that he turned the stones into bread? I don't think so. You might disagree with me, but I don't see it. Would it have been sin if he jumped off of the pinnacle and cast himself onto the ground? I don't see that. It don't say, thou shalt not cast thyself off the pinnacle. Would it have been sin if he bowed down in the way of bowing down in the way of taking the body and bowing down? I'm not talking about with his heart. I'm talking about with his body. You know, it all boils down to this. What thus saith the Lord? That's where sin comes. When you go against God's Word. And Jesus stayed with the Word. And he won. And we can win. If we just obey and keep the Word before us. I really appreciate that little book that we have, of that memorization on salvation. I've already memorized my first assignment, those first five verses. And boy, I tell you, It's encouraged my heart to memorize more. There's a bunch in there. I got another set of books today, 10 more books of prayer. It's all about prayer. Every scripture about prayer. And boy, before I die, I'd like to memorize all those scriptures. I remember, now I don't agree with this guy, but I remember Peter Ruckman. And Peter Ruckman was at this place down there in Comfort, Texas, down at the Gold Camp. You know what I'm talking about? Pot of Gold Camp. Years ago when I was at Bible Baptist Church down there with Brother James Lovell, I'm talking about many years ago, I went down there two or three times, and you've been there, brother? You had to go way up on these steps on the top up there with the temp, with the place where they preach and stuff like that. And while he was up there, I remember three times, we went 5 days a week, so 15 messages I heard him preach. He never used the Bible, but all he used was the Bible. Did you ever hear him? He had his Bible, but he memorized every word of the Bible. It was unbelievable. After when he got through preaching, he would tell, we had probably about 100 young people, and he'd close his Bible, he'd say, okay, somebody tell me a scripture. And somebody would just yell out, Malachi 1:2, he'd quote it. Zechariah 3:2. Acts 1:2. I mean, it did not matter. That guy, and he let everybody until we got tired of asking. I mean, we stayed up sometime at 10 o'clock at night. I mean, he got through preaching around 8:30. And it became a game to us. You know, the next night, he said, we're going to catch him, man. We're going to get him or something. We never did. Never did. That guy had the scripture, the Bible memorized. Now, he didn't believe right. And here's a lot of things wrong about him. But as far as him memorizing that scripture, it was on. And boy, I thank the Lord for that. The Lord today said to Satan, the scripture, and then we'll close with this. And this is what Jesus said lastly to him. Get thee hence, Satan. Get thee hence, Satan. That word get thee hence means give it up. Give it up. It means to withdraw or retire. And man, when you can live a life of scripture, when you can live the Word of God, walk God's Word, you're going to find the devil may come to you. He may come question you. He may come tempt you. But when you throw out the Scripture and give him God's Word, someday, one day, he's going to have to just retire. He's going to have to just withdraw and give it up. And that's what we want tonight. We don't want the devil come our way. We don't care. I knew of a preacher who was walking around trying to find the devil. He'd come to my house one day. He's telling me how the devil's under every rock. I mean, somebody's fat, they got a fat devil. Fat demon. I mean, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what went on, what's going on in life. There's a demon behind it. Now, you say to somebody, we know they got saved and now they're back out into the world living like they used to live. Yeah, they got an alcohol demon. Cigarette demon. I mean, everything was a demon. I said, man, I don't believe that. I don't believe everything's a demon. I mean, a demon's not ever under every rock. So I'm not going to go look for him. I'm not trying. They went about trying to find people who were full of the devil so they can go out and cast out the devil so they can bring this individual into this office, and then they have a bunch of young preachers around, or preachers from, and they like 15 of them, and they watch through all these windows. You can see out, but you can't see in. And this preacher would go and cast this demon out of this person, and that was a real big deal for them. I'm saying, I'm not interested in that. Are you? I don't find Jesus. Do y'all find Jesus in the Bible going around, walking around, looking for the devil? Now, when the devil come his way, he dealt with it. Oh, but tonight, how are we going to get devil, get thee hence? How are we going to get him there? By the Scripture. Walking as Christ walked. God help us. We stand to our feet tonight, and our heads are bowed, and eyes are closed. Is See, when Jesus was using the scripture on the devil, he was leading the devil to that place where he found himself. That's where the scripture will lead to the devil. What would it lead the devil to do? To leave. The Bible says he was going to, verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. I know another part of scripture, it says for a season. You know he's going to come back. But the word of God don't change, but he left. Jesus led him to that place by giving him the scripture. The Holy Spirit of God driveth Jesus to the wilderness, and then Jesus driveth Satan out of the wilderness. And that's what we want tonight. Drive him out. You can lead the devil, or the devil can lead you. God help us tonight.